I was a very active athlete at the time, training for elite bike races. Best shape of my life, arguably. And all of a sudden, I fatigued. So any good athlete would say, well, I'm overtraining. Cut back. Came back. I was worse, actually. So I knew something was not right. I just didn't know what. Hey, I'm Dr. Dan Pompa, and you're listening to the Life Stylist Podcast.
This is the third and final episode in our 2023 New Year, New You series. On January 3rd, we featured Manoj Diaz to dial in our mental, emotional, and spiritual habits and keep negativity at bay. Then in our second installment last week, we took a deep dive on creating a toxin-free home with Ryan Blaser from testmyhome.com. If you missed last week's show about detoxing your home from EMF, tap water, air pollution, mold, and blue light, make sure to scroll back and give it a listen. It was so full of practical insights that it could have been an online class in itself. It was pretty amazing. Now, this week brings you to episode 453, where we address our physical health. It's called New Year's Revolution, How to Detox the Body Deeply and Safely and Why It's Critical with Dr. Dan Pompa. This one's going to provide a ton of value and demystify the complex practice of removing toxins from the body. And obviously, starting the new year is a great time to set yourself up for more vitality and renewed energy, especially after cutting loose over the holidays, you know what I'm saying? My goal here for everyone listening to these first three episodes of the year is that they can set you straight with some powerful practices to address these crucial pillars of life, our mindset, our environment, and of course, our physical body. But be sure to remember as we go through this trilogy that perfection is a fool's errand. Trust me, I've tried it and it doesn't work. The best we can hope for is steady progress toward creating a lifestyle that brings us so much joy and abundance that we have plenty left with which we can be of useful service to our fellow Earth travelers. Hopefully it's no secret by now that serving others really is the golden key to lasting fulfillment. But that's really tough to do if your own tanks are empty. So let's do our best to take the principles we've learned here in this series and put them into practice. And trust me when I say, you'll likely want the show notes and links for this episode. You'll find them at lukestory.com/Pompa, P-O-M-P-A. Our second time guest, Dr. Pompa's personal journey back to health after mold exposure has continued to lead him to the most innovative ways to optimize health and train practitioners the world over in his methods. His detoxification programs for neurotoxic conditions and other unexplainable illnesses have become the gold standard in his field. And my friends, if you're interested in cellular detox, you've come to the right place. Dr. Pompa is a master of his craft, so you're in for a real treat today. And if you're intrigued by his perspective, check out lukestory.com/revelationhealth for special offers on Dr. Pompa's natural health and wellness solutions for everyday life. Here's an overview of what we discuss: the toxins that are most important to detox, the most toxic products and foods, cleansing metals, mold, and glyphosate from the body, the importance of a thyroid detox, the risks of dirty zeolite and the benefits of cytodetox, how leaky gut is related to detox, bitters, liposomals, and herbs that can assist in organ detox, silica to counter aluminum toxicity, the L. Ron Hubbard niacin sauna detox program, using voice testing to understand gut health, and his wife's stories of inherited lead toxicity, mercury fillings and their relationship to fetal metal toxicity, preventing mold in your home, the down low on the vast array of available heavy metal tests, depression, constipation, and other little known thyroid symptoms, and how to save yourself from decades of sickness. Why you might have the perfect level of hormone production and still be feeling unwell. And we talk about so much more in the realm of keeping your body safely free of toxins. So happy New Year, and may this be your best one yet. Please join me as we welcome Dr. Dan Pompa to the Life Stylist Podcast. Dan Pompa, here we go again, dude. We've seen each other, but I think the first episode we did was on Zoom. Yeah. Pretty early on in the lifestylist journey. And now that I had a chance to grab you in person, I'm stoked to catch up.
I think that interview was like, we were sitting in like...
was it in person? Oh my God, you're right.
Convention center, like sitting in person.
You're so right. Uh-huh. We were at the Bulletproof Conference
Pasadena. Yeah.
I have a really funny story about what transpired right after our conversation, which I don't want to say on the on the show, but I had a really bizarre altercation with someone right after we did our interview there.
No way. Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. No,
he's highly renowned. It's not Dave Asprey, by the way, but he's, you know, really well-known guy. And there was a whole drama backstage.
Jeez.
Yeah. I have like micro PTSD from that experience.
Yeah. I'm sorry we brought that up.
Yeah. No, no. I thought we did it on Zoom because at that time I wasn't doing very many in person.
Yeah.
Like I had an apartment and I had a little tiny office. And so most of the live ones I did would be at events.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, like, most people are more fascinated about my story. I was far more fascinated about your story, right? I mean, I think that it just, like, you know, and captivated. I think we saw your dinner and my wife.
Yeah,
and, you know,
yeah.
That's where I got your story.
And
oh,
I think I was on your podcast.
Yes,
and that was Zoom.
Yes, that was Zoom.
That's right.
What you remember. Defense. See, he still has a good memory, folks.
Yeah, let's
honestly.
Hope so. With the amount of nootropics I've been taking this weekend, I better remember something. All right, so let's jump right into it. You know, you're known for a lot of things. I mean, in our world, you're a micro celebrity of sorts, and I think many people will be aware of your work that are listening. Some won't. When I think of Dan Pompa, I think, oh, he's the guy that like has detox nailed. And I know you do a lot of other things.
Yeah.
But I haven't really done a show on that in a while, and I haven't done a show with you specifically on that. So I thought we'd focus on that today because it's obviously just probably more important than ever because of the world we live in. And we're just under like a complete assault, you know, from all directions.
Wow.
But it's fixable, I think. You know, I think you have some codes that can help people learn how to purify their bodies and as a result have some lasting health. So let's start with what are the toxins, you know, like the dirty dozen of sorts that you think are most important for people to pay attention to, get tested, and then work to get out? Like, is it glyphosate? Is it metals? Is it mold? Like, what's the nasties lately?
Well, there's some good ones right there. You know, one thing I found is if you give people the long list, then it's like, everything's toxic, forget it.
Right.
So I'll talk about the three
that
I find, because I deal with people who have unexplainable illnesses, right? Autoimmune, hormone dysregulation, I can't lose weight, energy, brain fog, my thyroid's malfunction. It started with that. Now it's this, anxiety, can't sleep. All right. So when you look at what's the big cause of these symptoms and everything that I just mentioned, there is three that I can focus on.
Oh, cool.
And if I give people three, I think they can go, okay, now what do I do about it? How do I know, right? So we'll get down to that path. But you mentioned mold, right? I mean, I hate mold. I despise it. I hate it. It's evil. It grows in dark places, right? I mean, think about it. There's no light and it's dark and it is in fact evil. But I guess I feel more that way just because I had such trouble with mold. And
did you go through that personally?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
I mean, I became, you know, very sick in 1999, and I was very sick for 3-4 years, just searching for answers. I mean, from pain to purpose, right? I mean, everything I teach today came out of me figuring out my own battle. And then many other things occurred too. We ended up adopting 2 kids, one on the autism spectrum. So it was my work developed through a lot of pain. You'll hear in a moment, my wife's story, right? She had very high lead levels that she got from her mom, hormonally disrupted her. That lead ended up into my children. The number one source of lead is your mom, and it's inherited 4 generations, right? So when we think of some of these heavy metals that we'll talk about, remember that point, because that really had an impact on my family. But back to me, as far as how I got into this, it was unexplainable, but it started like most people. I was fatigued. And I couldn't understand why. I was a very active athlete at the time, training for elite bike races, best shape of my life, arguably. And all of a sudden, I fatigued. So any good athlete would say, well, I'm overtraining. Cut back. Came back. I was worse, actually. And it took 2 weeks off, which in my world is a long time. Worse again. So I knew something was not right. I just didn't know what. But worse got very worse. It ended up into anxiety, insomnia, bizarre headaches. If I even forget about riding 100 miles on a bike, if I walked down the street, I was left fatigued. So I couldn't exercise in any capacity. My gut went, food intolerances, chasing foods, sound sensitive, bizarre stuff started, right? So that's where it started. It ended me finding out that I had a few things, which I always call perfect storm. Everyone typically is looking for the one thing, and it's typically not. It's typically 3 stressors that come together. Do you remember the George Clooney movie?
No.
See, I didn't say the name because I wanted to see if you'd say that.
It's not ringing a bell.
It's called The Perfect Storm.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But yeah,
okay.
George Clooney played it. I'm kind of aging myself there because that was like an 80s movie.
I'm not too far behind you.
All right, okay. Yeah. So anyways, in the movie, they described it very well. Two storms come together and catastrophic storm. I mean, if you have two storms, it's a bad storm. I'm sorry. If you have three storms, catastrophic storm. That's the perfect storm or the storm of the century. But that's what happens when people get sick, is you have three stressors. You've probably been dealing with one or two, and then you get the final storm, and that's what the bottom falls out. I was living in a moldy home at the time, unknowing an old home, and I had some dental work done, and amalgam fillings contained 50% mercury. They vaporized the mercury, and I was left fatigued. Didn't know it at the time. That was the start of the problem, because I thought it was just the anesthetic. Thought really didn't make the connection. But I looked back. I think it was 3 years later, and once I identified, that's when it all happened, right? And then later, I put together that it was the mold in the home, because I realized I was mold sensitive. You know, so perfect storm. A lot of exercise, training at a very high level, living in a moldy home, mercury toxicity that I really built up my whole life. I mean, I had fillings in, I had many sources. My mom had fillings. There's a study called the DRASH study, from a German study. The number of fillings, ladies, in your mouth is proportional to how much mercury is in the baby's brain in utero. And that was an autopsy study.
Really?
Yeah, so pretty accurate, my point. So once again, just like I said, the lead is inherited four generations. So is mercury. And not only is it inherited physically, the problem too is you turn on genes, and you even turn on genes where it makes you more difficult to get rid of it. So now we're kind of born doomed, if you will, to have these issues of weight loss resistance, perhaps, or thyroid condition, right? The point is, though, is like I said, this stuff can be inherited. It can turn on genes, but the physical inheritance alone. I had the mercury in my brain. The thing is what I teach today, really the mastery of it. A lot of people go, oh, I detox heavy metals. I detox this or that, right? But might have cleared your body some. But really, how you really change people permanently, a lasting solution, is getting it out of the nerve tissue, the brain in particular. So that's really what I'm known for, is, you know, my detox at the cellular level, but the brain in particular.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
So anyways, I mean, just to say that the mold is a big, big deal. Evil. Yeah. Heavy metals, we can talk a lot about, because there, I think there's some things that are misconceptions about how to get rid of it out of the body, and also even the exposures.
Okay.
And then there is a third, and I'll just lay it on the table, then we can dig into this as you want. But hidden infections. So you find that people that have a lot of immune challenges, maybe it's autoimmune and even lower immunity, they have hidden infections in the form of cavitations, which, let's say you had a root canal out when you were a teenager. It heals over and no pain. After 20, 25 years, now you have an infection in your jaw that you don't know is there, that is basically going systemic. And remember, now you are now all of a sudden, you might do just fine with that for many, many years until you have other perfect storms or other storms that come in. Remember, these are the three storms that come together, is what I'm always looking for when I'm looking for why someone's not getting their life back. So you have a hidden infection that needs to be found correctly, which is, we can talk about, it needs to be dealt with correctly. Root canals are known to give off biotoxins into the system, into the circulatory system, and create problems and unexplainable illnesses. So those are what I call hidden infections. And those are the things that are overlooked by most practitioners. I mean, for sure on the allopathic side of things, but even on the functional medicine side of things. I find that in functional medicine today, or alternative medicine, we find that we're doing a lot of expensive testing, gut testing, DNA testing, but I feel like it's almost pulled us further away from what is the cause of why someone still doesn't have their life back. You can look at their microbiome till the cows come home, and what are we going to do about what's affecting it? You can look at their DNA and SNPs and say, oh, this is better for you. Maybe you should try. But what are we doing that really affects even the SNPs, you know, or what, you know, what genes are even turned on? So I think that's the bigger conversation. We're having it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's funny you mentioned hidden infections. You know, I recently did a couple tests in John LaRonce's clinic in Florida, and I was having some issues with tinnitus. And so I went down there and got this sort of cutting edge stem cell treatment in my inner ear, which was really wild. And he and the other doctor from Korea that were there, Dr. Shim, said, you know, you might have a longstanding sinus infection, like a Marcon's infection.
Yeah, Marcon's.
And I thought, hey, man, I mean, I've been like doing nasal rinses for years and I used to get sinus infections a lot. I feel like I don't really anymore. And I took the test and indeed I had one. And so, you know, I'm thinking, oh man, how long has that been there? And, you know, what are the metabolites of that infection that are affecting not only my ear, but probably the rest of my body? And in that same trip, I also did a prostate test for, and I had two bacterial infections there. And I'm like, God, the two that I found, luckily, and maybe you have some insight into this, are also difficult to treat, right? Because one's antibiotic resistant. So it's you know.
Marcons are antibiotic resistant. And typically people in mold exposures end up with those.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm about to do some mold testing. Yeah. But, you know, it's like you have infections in parts of the body that are relatively easy to get something to, right? To get rid of it. And then you have other little pockets like the prostate that's really hard to even get to. And that's probably why the infection can be so long standing, right? Because you have this sort of closed capsule without a lot of blood flow in there. So we did some ozone injections through the perineum, which was interesting to say the least. And did a bunch of TRT and PMF and stuff. But I mean, I'm a guy who's always looking at this stuff and optimizing, and I feel great. My energy, sleep. I mean, I don't have any problems really. So imagine a person who, as you said, is, you know, lost their life essentially and is sick and can have multiple infections like that and even other ones. I mean, it's pretty, it's a pretty important thing to look at, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Back in the 90s, my friends used to call me a health nut, you know, drinking smoothies, taking vitamins, doing saunas, colonics, and all the old school health practices. Well, my commitment to health has never wavered since, and lucky for me, the innovation over the past two decades has been incredible. We just live in an unprecedented time of opportunity when it comes to taking your wellness into your own hands. And one of my non-negotiables is getting a daily dose of red light. There are dozens of clinically proven benefits from red light therapy, and I've experienced many of them myself. Most importantly, I'd say cellular vitality and energy, which is why I'm so committed to my daily Juve red light sessions. Aside from the obvious benefits, I've been recommending Juve for years because the quality of their devices are simply the best. Their modular design allows for a variety of setup options that gives me the flexibility to use them how I see fit. Now, I personally dig the full body modular system myself because I can blast myself with powerful red light all over my body very quickly. But Juve also makes many sizes, like their handheld device. It's called the Juve Go. That's really great for targeting specific areas of your body like hurting joints or sore muscles. But no matter what Juve device you use, the benefits are definitely there. To get in on this red light magic, hit up juve.com/Luke. And heads up, right now they're offering all of my listeners an exclusive discount on their first order. Again, that's joovv.com/Luke. And use the code Luke at checkout for your qualifying order. Some exclusions, however, do apply. Going back to the mold, I think that many of us think about mold toxins in terms of when we can see it, right? I mean, we've all probably checked into a hotel or Airbnb somewhere humid in the, you know, a tropical region or something. I remember a trip to Thailand and I checked into this kind of a hostel and I walked in and there was black mold all over the walls, and I knew enough at that time. I was like, get out. And we ran and paid a lot more for a better hotel that hopefully didn't have it. But in Austin where I live, it's humid and hot and mold is just a huge issue there. And most people I know that end up getting sick from mold had no idea that there was mold in their house.
It's almost always the case, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah. I mean, I'm like, well, did you see it under the sink? They're like, no, we don't. It's just there, right? One thing that I've noticed there too is you'll see a building site and they'll excavate, you know, because you drive by the same site every day. They excavate, then you see them pouring a foundation, then they throw the sticks up, and then they start to sometimes even, you know, put up the, I guess, the sides of the walls, whatever they're using, the insulation stuff. And then it'll rain for 3 days.
Yes. And then they seal it with the plastic.
Yeah. And then they come in and just seal it up. And I'm like, oh God, I feel like I need to send a letter to the future owner, like, get out.
Yeah. You know?
Is mold really much more prevalent in humid areas than dry areas, yeah. or does that even matter?
No, it matters a lot. Look, humidity, what happens is you're bringing humid air in and it's running through an HVAC system, your air conditioner. And what happens is the coil, which makes the air cold, ends up, it turns on, it turns off, but what's happening is condensation builds up on it because of the temperature differences, and mold ends up on the coil. So one of the tips that I always give people is always, always, always in humid environments, let your fan run on all the time. Do not put it on auto, because auto, it shuts off and then it builds up, mold's forming, and then it turns on, shuts off, turns on. So always, always run it. You want your humidity under 50, always. So in those humid environments, you have to keep it under 50. Otherwise, you're going to end up with a mold problem because it's enough air humidity to feed a problem that's already existing. Look, mold needs water and food, right? Where does it get the food? Drywall. I mean, it's hard to believe that we're still making drywall with paper, which is cellulose, which just happens to be the perfect food for mold. It really is remarkable. Oh, and then we have, you know, wood, right? I mean, so the drywall is then added to wood, which is another great food, cellulose, right? So all we have to do is add water, and now we have mold, right?
It's like you're trying to grow mold in a building.
Absolutely. And look, I mean, how many people have had a water damage incident in their home? If that's not dried within 36 hours, you have a mold problem. So it needs to be torn out, right? You know, and they think, oh, it's dry out here. But what happened down in the wall is the problem, in the ceiling. It's wet. You have insulation. It's been wet. It's wet for weeks. And there, now you have mold, right?
Right.
And, you know, out of sight, out of mind, until you don't feel well, right? And that's the problem, is because that's how you don't see it. You don't see it. And by the way, you don't smell it when you live there all the time. You become sensitized to it, right. Or desensitized.
So running the fan all the time is good advice. Mm-hmm. What about getting a dehumidifier?
Yeah, no, that's good advice too. If you live in a humid environment, especially lower levels, they're going to be more humid.
Okay.
And dehumidifier, keep the humidity under 50 for sure. Another great advice are these things called ERVs, energy return ventilators. They're building homes, as you mentioned, right? You said how they, you know, they build them and they seal them with the plastic, right? It's wonderful. Keeps your heating bills better, right?
Yeah.
It keeps them down, more efficient. And if you get a leak, it keeps the water from, you know, coming in. But the problem is it keeps your house sealed and water doesn't dry because there's no ventilation. And also, it keeps the chemicals in the house. So now we're building all these things with all these different chemicals, flame retardants, and we're sealing the homes tightly. So if you do get water damage, you have mold, and you're sealing the chemicals in, ERVs are the answer, meaning these energy return ventilators pull outside air in, and they bring stale air out.
Oh, cool.
And look, they're not even that expensive. You can have any HVAC guy put one in, and it will transform your air in your house. I think every home should have one. Oh, and by the way, it's law that commercial buildings actually have to have them.
Oh,
but
wow.
They're not putting them in homes. Commercial buildings have them because we don't want to be sued because of bad air, right? And you know, sick building syndromes. So now in commercial buildings, you have to have them, but we need them in homes. You need them in your home. You need to have this air circulation and ventilation. It will decrease mold. It will decrease your toxic levels, formaldehyde levels. I mean, you could go through a long list. It's one of the most, it's like having whole house water filtration or water filtration, right? It's hard to believe that people still drink tap water, but I'm sure you don't, but people do. But for me, it's as important as filtered water.
Yeah, that's great. What do you think about these ultraviolet light tubes that they can put in the coils, which is what I did recently?
So it works.
HVAC guy said, you got some condensation in there. It could be a problem.
Exactly. So. You put ultraviolet light above the coil and it's going to be good. It'll keep it off the coil. Now, it won't work throughout the system. And they make a lot of claims that, you know, how it diminishes viruses, but it passes through a little too quickly for that, but it definitely keeps mold off the coil.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Then in terms of, I don't know, we're going to get into mold so much, but
this
is important. I did a show recently with a guy, Michael Rubino, the mold medic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he came out to our house.
Michael, he's good at what he does.
Okay, cool. He gave me some recommendations on how to guide our GC to get some mold out of our house when we first bought it.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm sure Michael covered this, but I don't want to beat the horse here, but you know, you can't just do an air test in a house, right? It's more complicated than that, because I can't tell you how many times this weekend I had this conversation. Oh, I tested my house because I was doing a test called a visual contrast sensitivity test, which is still the most accurate way to see if you actually have biotoxic illness, which is mold illness. And people, you could tell when they're in a mold exposure or had a past one just by their score. And you lose the visual contrast, or at least the ability to see contrast. And I would say to people, wow, you're in a mold exposure. And they would be like, no, I thought maybe, but I had it tested. How'd you test it? Air test. Yeah, okay. Yeah, which were so easy, right? I mean, you have to have, we use a guy named Ryan Blazer.
Oh, I know Ryan.
Check my home. Love him. Yeah, Ryan's great. Yeah. And anyways, he'll do a virtual inspection with people, and then even maybe make some suggestions of some testing that they might want to start with. But then you got to test behind wall cavities. I mean, you got to look for like, where's the areas of possible mold and test behind those things. Dust test compared to outside air, inside air, bacteria testing. I mean, it's not what you think, right? Testing homes for mold. You got to do it right. And just like testing the body.
So when it comes to getting mold in your body, now that a lot of people listening have probably had exposure, mm-hmm. what is different about detox protocols for mold versus heavy metals or pesticides or anything else you've accumulated? Is it a different sort of system involved there in getting the
mold?
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. My system, which we can talk about in a moment, we first have to upregulate cellular function. I always say real detox is at the cellular level. And by the way, that's a big pitfall. We're going to talk about the pitfalls of detox. That's one of them. They don't fix the cell. And I say you will never get well unless you fix the cell. Real detox is at the cellular level. So we upregulate the cell, you start moving biotoxins from the cell. And we use some things to move the biotoxins out of the membranes because that's where they tend to be. And then we use chelators in the gut or binders in the gut more often with a mold protocol because it tends to go to the liver once you move it from the cell in the tissue, and it binds to bile, and then you dump the bile in the gut and you'll just keep reabsorbing it if you don't grab it. That came from Richie Shoemaker, that protocol where he was using cholestyramine. I always give credit where credit's due, and credit's due there, where he discovered accidentally that process of pulling the bile, and then the magic happens later. But I think the mistake is made. You still have to fix the and upregulate the cellular detox pathways, otherwise you're dead in the water. But that combination in using binders, and we use them 3 times a day as opposed to once a day with a typical regular detox.
Okay.
So a little hard to understand. I don't want to, without really seeing that drawn out, but yes.
I get the idea. Yeah. I mean, and people can go to your site and you work with people, right?
I work with some. I work with very, very difficult cases now. Okay. And I will coach them for a whole year because my goal is really to, the cases I work with, it's, you have to teach them the process, like what I teach my doctors that I train. Otherwise, they'll not do it long enough to matter. Okay. I think that's another myth, if I will, about detoxes. Oh, I detox. It's 3 months, right? You did heavy metals 3 months, right? Okay, yeah. Yeah, I was pulling heavy metals on my brain for 4 years, by the way.
A lot of people, I think, detox is doing, I mean, I used to do this, drink green juice exclusively for 5 days or something. You're like, I'm good for life.
Yeah, that's what I'm up against. Yeah. And it seems like what is in our world, our space, it doesn't leave oftentimes, right? Like even though things have been disproven, like Corella, right? Corella, I have nothing against Corella. It's actually a really good superfood. And it's a very minor weak binder, but it is not the heavy metal magnet. It doesn't do, in Petri dishes, it looks really great. Like, wow, look at that. But when it hits the microbiome, it absolutely is not a good heavy metal binder, right? So there's these myths. Again, that's
cilantro too.
Cilantro is another one. It moves metal out of the brain. I almost, my wife almost had to check me into the insane asylum because I juiced cilantro and I mobilized so much. It's a weak binder. I mobilized so much mercury around my body. I thought I was going to die, and she claims I wanted to commit suicide, and she's probably right.
Wow.
Yeah. So not good. You're just hitting. We're hitting on all these like detox myths that leave. It's like government. Once something like low fat's bad, it's always bad. Then we can't ever tell it, even though we've proven it's not bad. It's still there.
There are these kind of thought memes that permeate. Yeah. I mean, obviously in the Western medicine model, there are many,
but in ours too.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I have nothing against saunas, colon cleanses, these things, but it's. If it's not how you get someone's life back that's truly deeply toxic. And they could be a part of it. I have nothing against saunas. I recommend people do it. But you have to do it with the proper detox going on. You have to be upregulating cell function. You have to use real chelators and binders around it. Otherwise, you're going to mobilize toxins that end up deeper in the brain, deeper in the nerve tissue. So it's not as simple as just doing a colon cleanse. You know, it's good to keep your bowels moving. And darn it, there's a place for it. So I'm not speaking bad about these things, but it's not like I did detox.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think I took that away from our conversation when you used the term that you use obviously a lot is the cellular detox. And the way you explained it is there's degrees of detox and you have your upstream, right? The cell, which you're speaking of. Mm-hmm. And then you have all of these cascade of different things that might be helpful downstream, right?
Absolutely.
But if you're drinking green juice if you're really toxic, let's just say, as I argue most people probably are at this point, if you drink green juice for 5 days, do a couple colonics, do some saunas, you're still way downstream.
Yeah, way downstream.
From where it counts.
Yeah,
okay.
Way downstream. And look, there maybe is nothing bad about drinking green juice, although a lot of thallium poisoning and arsenic poisoning, it comes from green juice. So you might want to be a little careful. Dave Asprey, I would probably agree that kale is potentially not the best food on the planet.
Yeah, concentrating oxalates into a tasty drink.
Yeah, and thallium, thallium. So yeah, there's potential.
That's funny because I don't do a lot of green juice anymore. I used to juice all the time and stuff, but I went to Erewhon last night because I miss my beloved Erewhon. I don't know if you've been there. It's like,
My kids were there this trip.
Yeah,
I didn't get to go.
You know, don't go in unless you have a lot of room on your credit card. But I got a green juice and I drank it this morning. I just felt drawn to it, you know, and it was good and I feel fine. But I mean, I used to pound a lot of that. And then I would start looking at, well, even if it's organic, let's say you're drinking a celery juice, like what's that guy's name? Medical Medium, you know, he's got people on celery juice and it's probably great. But if that stuff's grown, even it's organic, it's grown in NPK fertilizer. I mean,
you're concentrating it. Yeah.
You're totally dysregulating all your mineral balance, you know? So it's so weird how there's some things that do have a benefit, but then if you really look into it, there's also a potential downside.
Yeah.
In terms of the metals, what about and we can talk more about the methods of detoxing, but there's a lot of different ways to test, right? You have the hair mineral analysis test, right?
Yeah.
And that'll show your mineral levels supposedly and the metals you have to a degree. And then you have like a challenge urine test.
Yep.
And then you have a blood test. Where are we nowadays? Because I haven't done a lot of those lately. What's the gold standard of like testing for metals?
You know, I made the comment earlier that it's brain heavy metals that really are the problem, like aluminum and mercury and others, but those in particular. There's really no way to see brain metals without biopsy. And I don't know that we're going to sign up for that. Yeah. So I doubt that's going to happen.
You got to open up your skull and take a little
tissue.
Take a sample.
What part? I don't know. Again, will I be okay? Maybe.
Take it out of my amygdala. Like I want to relax a little.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good point. But I keep putting my hand on that burning stove. I just can't remember that it's bad.
I don't know. Why do these cars keep honking at me? I'm so relaxed.
Yeah, right? That's not good. But anyway, look, there's no perfect heavy metal test. I say that and people are so astounded by the comment.
I'm disappointed.
Yeah, we all are.
I was waiting for the silver bullet.
Right, yeah. But I'll give you some options, right?
Okay.
So, okay, blood. If you have an acute exposure, it will show up in the blood. After a few days, it's moved on to tissue, right? We can challenge it out in the urine. Or let's back up. A urine test, right? You're only going to see what your body's getting rid of. We can use a chelator and challenge it out, which for some metals has great value. And we can see pulling it out of the more extracellular tissues. And then we can see a higher level if you didn't use a chelator. It's very accurate for lead, some thalliums, gladolidium. So there's some other things that are stored more in body tissue, but not so good for aluminum and mercury and some other metals. So it has its limitations. Hair is what typically it's showing what your body's getting rid of, right? So it's really not going to be where your problem is. There was a couple autism studies done and they found that the autistic kids never had mercury in their hair, right? Which ended up to be the red flag. if you actually had some mercury, you're able to get rid of it, right?
Right. They're not methylating it. It's just stuck.
Yeah. Okay. So you can see that there's some limitations with the testing. There's a new test called the Oligo Scan, and it's a Europe study. It's gotten better over the years. I've done some, checked its reproducibility, meaning tested me and some other people, and then an hour later, 10 minutes later, retested, and it's the same person. That's a good sign. But it's like, we know that, because I hate tests where you do it, and then you do it an hour later, and it's completely different. They say, but the test itself treated you somewhat with frequency, and now it's different. Okay, I know that you said, but I'm not buying it necessarily. This test shows intracellular, what's in the membranes, toxicity, and it's gotten better in that they're able to, it's the same technology that if you take and look at a plant or an herb and you want to see if there's heavy metals in it, you'll hit it with ultraviolet light. And photospectrometry is what the technology is. And then it basically reflects a pattern back, a wavelength back, and it's measurable. Now, when you do that in science in a lab, you have to know the exact amount of material you have. Otherwise, you could throw the test results off because there's an algorithm. So it's the same with the body. You have to know your weight. If you screw that up, you could throw the test off. You even have to know your blood type. But so they look at those parameters, and they're able to now, with much greater accuracy, look at what's more in the cell. Now, not perfect, because we still don't know what's in your brain. But at least we're able to put some of these tests together and get a better idea.
Cool. What about...
I'm doing the Oligo Scan actually downstairs. You should run down.
Really?
Right now. But
will it be there when we're done still?
I hope so. If not,
I don't know what time it is.
I'll make my team do it for you.
It's 5:02.
Yeah.
I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
I've been pretty much obsessed with the principles of quantum energy for years. Before any particle manifests physically, it exists as pure quantum energy, and that includes our bodies. And every person constantly interacts with other quantum energy fields. But things like EMF and toxic air, food, and water diminish our body's energy. And this, my friends, is why I use Leela Quantum products every day. Walk through my house and you'll see them everywhere, like the quantum block on our kitchen island, for example, which we use to charge our food, drink, and supplements to increase their nourishing potential. Leela Quantum develops and studies its quantum products to help mitigate harmful EMF effects, activate the body's self-healing powers, and strengthen our biofield. The pure quantum energy they use is also part of every cell. It's a form of source energy. It's natural and very real. And there's a long list of randomized, placebo-controlled, single and double-blind studies proving the many effects of Leela Quantum products. Leela Q products neutralize EMF, optimize HRV, and improve the blood. This has been shown in the various studies to which I referred, as you can see for yourself right on their website. To upgrade your life with Leela Quantum's pure quantum energy right now, visit LeelaQ.com and get 10% off your first order with the code Luke10. That's LEELAQ, LeelaQ.com. There's a school of thought that's shared by many that toxin exposure, although it's to a greater degree now, our bodies have always been exposed to poisons and toxins, and that if you have enough metabolic energy and if you have the proper balance of minerals that are the counterparts to some of these toxins, that your body, your redox is high enough that you should just be constantly detoxing naturally. And specifically, I'm thinking of things like if you're getting enough selenium, then that's going to get the mercury out. So some people would say if you eat a lot of fish that are high in mercury, it doesn't really matter because the selenium in the fish is going to balance it out. Or in the case of aluminum, which I'm currently working on, but silica is like the antagonist to that. And then with something like fluoride, you've got iodine, right? Mm-hmm. So there seems to be these counterparts that nature has created where if you can balance them out, your body should be able to detox. What's your perspective on kind of leaving things alone and, putting some inputs in that are going to help your body actually just do what it's meant to do?
Yeah, in a perfect world, perfect system, I agree with all that, right? I mean, because nature always, innate intelligence always has a homeostasis, a way to balance itself, a counter, act to this. It's when we interfere with that innate intelligence or that ecosystem, right? We wouldn't have polluted lakes if we didn't interfere, right? Because in that lake is the perfect balance to keep it heavy metal free and the water clean and this and that. You know, so water systems become polluted because we overwhelm the system. Well, same with our body. We overwhelm the internal environment to the point where now that's out of balance, right? So putting silver fillings that contain 50% mercury, that vaporize mercury into our brain 24/7. Oh, and especially when you drink hot liquids. And by the way, if that filling is 25, 30, 35 years old, it's still giving off mercury into your brain. Mercury vapor turns to inorganic mercury, has a half-life longer than you live, and it accumulates in the tissues. So what does your body do with this? You know, at some point, it's trying to counteract that, but you're overwhelming the system.
So it doesn't matter how many Brazil nuts you eat to get your selenium.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, so it's just, we overwhelm the system, right? Yeah. And then you mentioned glyphosate earlier. Stephanie Seneff did the first study I saw. It was a 2012 study. And she found that glyphosate was making the metals that we're already exposed to. We talked about metals from mom. We talked about lead from mom, mercury from mom. And these already chemicals that we have in our body, and it allows them to cross deeper into the brain, right through the blood-brain barrier, because glyphosate opens up. And that's the chemical sprayed on most of our food today. Unavoidable to some degree, even if you're eating 100% organic.
I was shocked to learn that some farmers use glyphosate to actually dry the wheat.
desiccation.
It's not bad enough to spray your crops with it just to keep pests off or whatever.
Yeah, it's called desiccation because it makes it easier to harvest. So you increase your profits. Oh, so if it's so healthy, why wouldn't you if it's so healthy? So anyways, in the company, Monsanto says it is healthy, so why not increase my profits? So you could see.
I mean, we can definitely trust them though, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
of course, yeah. So anyway, but it's opening up our gut barrier, it's opening up our blood-brain barrier, and it's making the situation worse. I'm still answering your question of like, yeah, we have these natural processes, but look what we're doing. We're overwhelming it. Oh, we're vaccinations that still contain mercury and definitely aluminum. I mean, we're overwhelming the system. We're shutting down the detox pathways. But to your point, where I say, look, the detox is at the cellular level. If we don't fix these pathways, it doesn't matter how much selenium you take. It doesn't matter how many chelators you use. You have to fix what's broken at the cell, because these pathways are there for the purpose of removing toxins day in, day out. Listen, when you make energy in your cell, you make waste. Just like if we burned wood in this room to heat the room, we would die if we didn't get the smoke out. This room would become like a toxic cell and we would die. That's happening in our bodies. The cell becomes inflamed because of toxins in the membranes. And now it can't get the good stuff in anyway. It doesn't matter how you eat. You can't even get the selenium in the cell because it's so inflamed. And now you can't get the bad stuff out. And now your genes, your DNA is in that cell too. And now you're triggering genes. And these cells are duplicating other bad cells. So when I say you have to fix the cell to get well and real detox is at the cellular level, that's what I mean. So when we look at most of the detox that's going on downstairs, if you will, we're at a conference, it's not real detox. You don't get people well by not understanding what is happening at the cell. So yes, do we give people the minerals needed in the process? Iodine, very important, I feel. Selenium is very important. Methylation, very important. But the point is you have to do that within the other system that we're trying to correct here.
Cool. Very clear message. I appreciate that. And thanks for touching back on glyphosate. Yeah. I try to mention glyphosate in any health-related show.
Yeah. Well, why not?
Someday someone that has some influence on legislation will hear it maybe and go, oh yeah, maybe we should rethink this.
It's probably a good idea.
I mean, dude, every time I spent the last year and a half going to Home Depot a lot, unfortunately. And the first thing you see oftentimes when you walk in is just this huge end cap of Roundup. And I'm just like,
Don't they watch the commercials that everyone else, I mean, the commercials now are saying, you know, billions of dollars in lawsuits have been given because this stuff causes cancer, lymphoma, and there's a list of things. Like, they're winning the lawsuits, meaning the science is clear. This stuff causes cancer and other diseases, and yet it's still sold in Home Depot.
Yeah.
If I owned Home Depot, I'd be like, could you take that stuff out of my store?
Totally.
I mean,
I always think about pets. You know, you have your two lovely dogs here, and I have a dog and a cat at home, and It's like she loves to go run on lawns, you know, and lawns, you know, golf courses, they spray with atrazine and people at home are probably spraying their lawns with Roundup. And I was like, get off the lawn. You know, I hate to be a buzzkill, but it's like, man, it's just difficult to avoid. What's up with the thyroid, you know, thyroid function as it pertains to detox? Because I know that's something that you have some knowledge about.
I spoke on that actually this weekend. I felt the need to speak on it this weekend because I see a massive explosion right now happening. And we'll talk about it. There's a couple topics here. But post-COVID, I actually named and trademarked it post-COVID stress response.
Oh, really?
Why so many people have lost hair after COVID, long haulers, and what's wrong, and you know what we're doing to help fix it. But what's happening with this, first of all, let me just give you some statistics. Who is ending up with thyroid conditions, thyroiditis post-COVID? It's women under the age of 50. And it's typically women who had a subclinical thyroid issue, didn't know it, and got COVID. Their cells went into what I call a cellular danger response, whole nother topic. And basically to save their life, saw a foreign virus and locked them into this cellular danger response. They end up with thyroiditis. And that's happening in mostly women. But it's happening in men too. Men, you're not off the hook. But that's a reason why. And you have a lot of listeners right now going, oh my gosh, that's me. I myself was stunned at the numbers. I spoke the other day here and I just said, I have a, just curious the group here. And it looked a little more than half the room, like that after COVID was losing hair. That was the only question I asked, you know, or hair's thinning or, you know. And then I said, okay, how many people still don't feel well? Was another large portion of people.
And finding that result in this demographic is pretty telling too. I mean, you're probably some of the most health conscious people in the world flying here to learn how to do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I argue that a lot of them are here also though to try to find an answer, right?
And okay.
Yeah, I mean, but you're right. But anyways, okay, so thyroid, I call it the canary in the coal mine, right? Meaning that I'm dating myself. I think you understand what that means. Maybe some of our listeners
they
don't.
Know. Okay. They know.
All right. They don't really. Okay. Because I've had people say, or at least one of my kids go, Dad, I don't think people know what that means. What the heck are you
Maybe
talking
I'm
about?
Just older too.
That's what so it is. I mean, do you know what that
Bailey?
Means? Bailey? Okay.
You do?
Okay. All right.
How old are you, Bailey? 27?
Okay. Well, all right. Yeah. That's good. Well, Bailey is a really smart 27-year-old. But in defense of people who don't know what it is, we're not bringing canaries in coal mines anymore. And for those who don't know, they used to do that because the canary would be the first to die if there was a poisonous gas in the mine. Then the miners had a chance to come out. We have sophisticated equipment for that today. But the canary in the coal mine, meaning they're sensitive. They die easily with toxic exposure. Your thyroid is the canary in the coal mine. It's the first to go. So neurotoxins in particular, it goes right to the thyroid. And so we know that when people are neurotoxic, and we talked about mold, we talked about some heavy metals, we talked about hidden infections, they get a lot of these thyroid symptoms. Brain fog, right? That's actually a thyroid symptom. Constipation is actually a thyroid symptom. Believe it or not, depression is a thyroid symptom. Of course, low energy, of course, thinning hair, of course, temperature dysregulation, et cetera. Dry skin, thinning, you know, aging skin. I mean, all of that is thyroid. But also the inability, weight loss resistance. How do we not talk about that? A lot of people can't lose weight today because of subclinical. And what that means is you have the symptoms, but you go to your doctor and you do a blood test and they go normal. Unfortunately, it takes about 20 years of that fun symptoms, those fun symptoms, till you finally go to your doctor insisting that you have a thyroid condition. And this time he runs and goes, oh, well, now you do. No, you had it for 20 years, subclinical.
So it'll be subclinical for that long?
That long, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then 10 to 20, I find it definitely leaning on the 20 side. So then the problem is then they give you typically a medication T4. Synthroid is a T4. That's the inactive form of thyroid hormone that needs to be converted to the active form that gets its message in your cell. Tells your mitochondria to burn fat for energy and make energy and all the fun things, and we don't have any of the symptoms that I just mentioned. All right, that works wonderful if it converts to T3. Oh, and then the other problem is, does the T3 get its message in the cell. Because, see, toxic people have inflamed cell membranes, as I already pointed out.
Right. So it makes the cell kind of a closed system.
Exactly. Okay. So all the receptors are to the thyroid hormone are on the cell membranes. And when you have inflammation of that, and that's one of the tests we were doing down there as well, then you don't get the message in. So it's like you have a $1,000 cell phone. It's a wonderful cell phone until you get away from cell phone towers. Useless, right? Yeah. If it can't get its message.
It's a cool camera.
Yeah, that's true. So it's not useless. You can still take pictures of yourself dying in the forest. But anyway, so it has to connect to the cell phone tower. Your hormones have to connect to the receptor. So, I mean, one of the things I was teaching on this weekend was just that. Hormone problems, it's really not the lack of hormones that people think. Sometimes, but rarely. It's most often a hormone resistance problem. Think of type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance. You have plenty of insulin, oftentimes too much. But if insulin can't connect to the cell receptor, then you don't feel good in all the symptoms of. Same with thyroid, same with that estrogen. I can go down a list. When your cells are inflamed, you're hormone resistant. So that's why people don't feel well. That's why you can't burn fat anymore. It's not your diet. It's why you exercise your butt off and still have love handles. It's why you don't have energy at the end of the day. It's why your brain doesn't work. So yes, the thyroid is just the first one that we look at and say, yeah, we know this set of symptoms. And it makes this become the issue. But here's where functional medicine is failing. What is the cause of cellular inflammation? Toxins are the number one source. I could talk about other causes, but toxins are the number one source. And what are we doing about it? Because I just said that that hormone problem is a cellular problem. So if you're not dealing with the toxins at the cellular level, then what are you doing? And by the way, you're not going to fix the gut if you're not upstream dealing with the toxins that your body's just painfully trying to get rid of, half of which end up in your liver, in your bile, and dumped in your gut, destroying your microbiome. I've heard people say, well, real detox, or not real detox, but detox, you should fix your gut first before you detox. I laugh. If it were only so simple, I can't fix the gut in any of the people that we work with until we work upstream. You know, it's like you bought this new plot of land. You're so excited on this gorgeous river, and you go down and you realize the fish are dying and your plants are dying and the ecosystem's destroyed. So you spend a lot of money fixing it, putting new fish, restocking, algaes, the whole thing. You know, you're smart enough to put the microorganisms in there. 3 months later, all dead again. And you do that again, you spend more money this time. Then your neighbor comes down and says, George, you might want to save your money. 20 miles upstream, there's a factory dumping mercury into the water. Ah, yeah, you're never going to fix it. Well, this is what we're doing, right? We're trying to fix the gut. We're trying to fix the thyroid. We're trying to fix the adrenals downstream. What's upstream? Why is the thyroid failing? Why are your adrenals shot? There's a reason.
I think a lot of people with the thyroid, and I'm certainly no expert on it, but as I age, I'm starting to perk my ears up a bit to it. But I think a lot of people think when you have thyroid dysfunction, it's just a normal, natural part of aging. Right? Oh, when you get older, your thyroid does this or
that. In this country, you're right.
Right.
Yeah, in this country, you're right. It's common, but it's definitely not normal. I think the sad part is like I said, you know, people listening and watching, it's they go to their doctor and they do end up on the med. And I already said that if it doesn't convert, most of the conversion takes place in the liver and the gut. Oh, by the way, to convert T4 to T3, you actually need selenium. What depletes selenium? Mercury, as right. You pointed out.
Right?
So, yeah. So the point is that you can't, if you don't make that conversion, and people that are toxic have toxic livers that are straining and guts microbiome, right? So you don't make the conversion.
Right.
And then again, I said, even if you do make the conversion, your membranes are inflamed, the receptors are blocked, and the hormone can't get its message to the cell.
So with the thyroid, you know who Ray Peet is?
No.
Dr. Ray Peet is an older guy, really brilliant guy, and he has a lot of somewhat controversial views, but there's a whole kind of, I don't want to denigrate them by calling them a cult, but he has people that are obsessed with his work. And one of the things that he sort of recommends universally is supplementing with thyroid. And so I was curious about that. And so do you know Craig Conover, Dr. Craig Conover?
No.
In South Carolina. He's a former guest on the show, and I hit him up and I said, man, I'm just a little low energy, kind of getting tired in the afternoon. And, you know, he said, you know what, I'm going to send you some desiccated thyroid and just take one of those every morning and see how you feel. And I'll be damned, in three or 4 weeks, I have a lot more energy, so I take one a day, you know, and it's just kind of become part of my...
Desiccated thyroid is definitely a better way to go, because in the desiccated thyroid, you have T4 and T3.
Oh, okay.
So you have a full set of hormone there, right? However, I would argue that, look, your cells can deal with lower hormone levels as we age. It's normal aging. Especially as you age, your cells become more sensitive to the hormones. And it's a normal part of aging. I always say it's very difficult to win the hormone game. There's a time and a place for hormones, I mean, for multiple reasons, right? But we realize today, I think more than ever, that it's the sensitivity to the hormone, meaning your cells have to hear the hormone, that really is a healthy person. So as we age, very healthy people, and we study healthy cultures, their hormone levels lower. It's very normal. Otherwise, you start making too many bad cells. So it's normal, but the cells hear the lower levels. That's the problem in our country, is that the cells are so darn inflamed that they're not hearing the hormones. So what are we doing? We're taking hormones, which sometimes makes us feel better. But it's, I'll give you an analogy. It's like yelling at your kids. You don't have kids. That's
not yet.
A bad analogy, but those people who have kids, it's a great
analogy. I have a dog.
I'll give you another analogy
hyper.
For you. Okay. Okay. It doesn't work with dogs either. So if you yell at your kids in the beginning, it works. Meaning if you're taking hormones in the beginning, it typically works. But then when you're yelling at your kids all the time, it works less and less and less. You're yelling louder and louder and louder to the point where you're like, okay, this is not working. And then if you start whispering, it actually works better. But that's like the cells. Hormones, you need more and more and more. Typically, it's just less and less and less because you're really not dealing with the problem. And that's the cell's ability to hear it.
The receptors.
The receptors.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Wow, very interesting.
But desiccated, though, like taking a glandular can be supportive of a thyroid.
Got it.
But I would argue if you still need the support all the time, you still have something more upstream that you should concern yourself with.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Very good. Very good. Next up, I want to get into the binders. A lot of people are into zeolite, right? Mm-hmm. And then this came out years ago. Before that, I heard about like calcium bentonite clay and charcoal, and then zeolite kind of hit the scene. And I was taking that and everyone was kind of taking it. And then there was a big scare about heavy metal contamination in the zeolite. So you're trying to detox your metals and then you're taking zeolite.
Yeah.
And so when I did my recent hair metal mineral analysis test with Upgraded Formulas, a guy that's been on the show, Barton Scott.
Yeah, Martin.
They recommended, and I worked with the practitioner that read my results, and he got me on this little dropper called a Cyto Detox. and I looked at
That's where that came from.
Yeah, well, that's what I figured out today. That's what I figured out today. And I was like, hey, he recommended. I said, zeolites. No, this zeolite is totally safe. It works great. He's got his clients on. He said, I get great results. And I looked at it. I'm like, I'm taking one little dropper. It's a tiny little dropper bottle like this size, you know, and I'm thinking, what's that going to do? I used to take spoonfuls of zeolite and clay, you know, but he swears by it. So maybe give us the breakdown on zeolites, how they work, how they don't.
Yeah, this is a great conversation. We'll call this binders and chelators,
okay?
Because there's a little bit of difference in the myths around them. Yes, zeolites are loaded, typically very toxic. Mike Adams, I forget when it was, maybe 3 years ago, he tested like all of them on the market, and they were like all had lead and arsenic and all kinds of bad
stuff.
They're
essentially like ground up rocks, kind
absolutely
of, right?
Okay. Right. So they hold ground minerals, right, or and heavy metals. So you have to always clean them. But the problem is when people clean them, they destroy the cages, and that's kind of how they bind, is these little cages. And if a product is clean, because we have a lab that we were able to test these in, typically they're just broken into pieces and they don't matter anymore. So there is a process to clean it and make it still intact.
Okay.
Right. So and the answer to your question, like how could that little bit be in a bottle? And by the way, I have no ownership of the company anymore. I still believe in the product. I was the initiator of like how the technology came together and really bringing scientists together, how we lipolyze that little particle. Because the problem I was having is zeolite particles are big. They stay in the gut. Great gut binder if it's clean, if you have a clean one, right? And most aren't, so be careful. But we wanted to get it into the circulatory system. So we had to make the particles smaller, but yet keep them intact. So that was a process. And then we had to liposome them, put them in a little fat particle. And that got it through not just the gut better, but it also helped it into the membranes. So, you know, that was a help of some really bright people that I kind of brought together on that project, honestly. But so it's a great product. It's a clean product. And you don't need much of it because we're trying to get it. We don't want it to be in the gut. We want it to go systemic.
That's
and I use the product to this day. I mean, I like I said, I have no ownership in the company anymore, but I absolutely use it with my
clients.
Would
that be just a good general maintenance for people?
Yeah. I mean, I prefer it in my system, but yeah, I mean, you can absolutely use it like that, but I use it in a system of upregulating cell function. And then we'll talk about gut binders and that importance in a minute.
Okay.
But okay. So zeolites are true. And you mentioned carbon. Most carbon also is dirty. Any, again, things that come from the ground can be dirty. You can use coconut shell carbon. It's cleaner, little different binding capacity. But carbons, they bind specific things, right? So I built out a product called Bind, and it has like
four. Oh, that's yours too? They're capsules?
Yeah, I built that.
He got me on that too.
Yeah, so it has a specific carbon that is like you throw it in the air and it sticks. Very expensive carbon in that because most carbon really doesn't do a great job. Carbon is actually better for biotoxins, things like mold and infection type of toxins, than it is even heavy metals. So, and then you have humix fulvates that are dirty. I mean, it took us 13 different companies to find a clean one, and we still test batches that are dirty. You still have to test every batch. Most people don't.
Fulvic and humic acid.
So these are in a lot of products today. To your point, they became popular, but I'm telling you, these things are dirty and you have to be very, very careful. So, okay, but these are most of those things just stay in the gut and they're not really systemic cleansers. People don't understand that. So I utilize gut binding in my process.
Let's take a moment to do a little mental evaluation, shall we? How sharp do you feel on a daily basis? Do you struggle with brain fog or have difficulty focusing? Is it hard to recall names, dates, or where you left stuff? If so, I have some really good news for you. Newtopia, which is powered by Optimizers, has created a new one-of-a-kind product called Collagenius. This stuff is rad. It combines collagen protein and cacao with four different medicinal mushrooms, lion's mane, reishi, cordyceps, and chaga. I personally take this stuff every morning. It tastes amazing in my protein smoothie, sort of like a chocolate milkshake, or some days I'll just add a scoop to my coffee for a powerful brain-boosting mocha. It is awesome. But more important than the great taste, my friends, is that Collagenius legit fights brain fog, helps repair your brain, improves your ability to focus, and boosts something called BDNF, which supports improved learning and memory power. If you want to max out your mental performance and mood, this is a no-brainer, pun intended, of course. For an exclusive offer for you Lifestylist listeners, go to newtopia.com/LukeGenius and use the promo code Luke10 during checkout to save 10%. And get free shipping. Again, your link is Newtopia. That's Nootopia. Newtopia.com/LukeGenius. And the promo code is Luke10. And you can also click this link in the show notes on most podcast player apps. So when we're dealing with the various binders, obviously there's, you know, the cleanliness of those binders is really important. Something came to mind when you talked about the fulvic and humic acid. I've been a huge fan of Shilajit for a long time. I take probably a gram of that a day. And I've also heard with that, it can be very problematic in terms of contamination, mold, bacteria, viruses, metals. It can be really nasty. Mm-hmm. So I always look for, you know, a trusted brand that's going to show me their lab reports to see that it's clean. If one had a clean Shilajit source, the one I like is from a company called Mitolife because they're in little tablets. You know, pop them.
Yeah, I haven't tested it. I would say it's great if you could get the clean source. What I would do if I were you, labs, you can pay them to test a product. And that product particularly, I would say, you know, test it for microorganisms as well as heavy metals.
Yeah.
But
do you think the humic and fulvic acids in Shilajit, if you were to take a clean source and enough, would assist in the detox process?
Yeah, no, it does. Because with the reason why I use binders in the gut that don't leave the gut is in my system is because the toxins, once you upregulate cell function, then it moves the toxins to the liver. They bind with bile. I kind of explained this about mold, right?
Yeah.
And then it dumps it in the gut. And then you'll just auto-intoxicate and you'll keep auto-intoxicating.
You'll just reabsorb
so it. In my system, we upregulate the cell functions, right? Now, that's my five R's. I have five R's, which is a roadmap of how we upregulate the cell functions, right? So, and we could talk about that in a minute. But when we upregulate the cell detox pathways, it starts to move toxins out of the cell. We use then chelators and binders, and there's several of them. Cytodetox is just one. And we want them the out and around the cell to grab the toxins and move it all the way out of the body so you don't reabsorb it somewhere else. That's the problem, is it'll end up in your brain or somewhere else if you don't have that those chelators around you. So that's where chelators are used. Use the binders in the gut because when a lot of it ends up in the liver, it binds to bile. The bile is dumped into the intestines to digest fat. That's what it does, but it brings the toxins with it. The unfortunate part is in the lower small intestine, you absorb the bile back to the liver so it doesn't have to recreate it. But what does it bring back? It brings the toxins back around. Auto-intoxication.
Oh, man.
So we grab those toxins away from the bile and pull it out. So step one, upregulate the cell function, right? Step two, we need chelators out here. So people that try to detox just with chelators, you're only working out here. You're not working at the cell and you're not working in the gut at all, really. So you want to grab them here so you don't auto-intoxicate when they come out of the cell. And you want to grab them in the gut so you don't auto-intoxicate from the gut. So binders and chelators. Chelators are more used around in and around the cell. DMSA, wonderful. It uses a sulfahedral bond called a thiol group. And that is a very strong bond. But the problem with these guys is, number one, they're water soluble. So they don't pull metal out of the brain. They don't get it from the cell. But they do wonderful of grabbing it once it comes out of the cell and the tissues and moving it all the way out of the body. It's released very quickly, but that's the problem too, because you have to take DMSA every 4 hours. Otherwise, the level drops, then you create more circulation. You have to keep the level up. DMPS is another one, but you have to take it every 8 hours. EDTA is about a 10, 12 hour half-life, so it's a little easier. But all of those chelators have good things and bad things, and some people do better with some and others. So we come in with a whole basket of chelators and binders and things because everybody's different. So everyone wants the box thing. And I created a box program called TCD some years ago. And I hated it because everyone just wanted the box, right? And it's like, okay, I created this for this. But detox, you have to use different doses for people.
Right.
Different chelators.
And is this based on the testing?
Yeah, I mean, no, it's based on people's responses.
Okay.
They go, man, I feel worse on cycle, right?
Got it.
And detox is also always cycled. People try to stay on to you. You have to be on, you have to be off. You have to be on just like in nature. Detox is always cycled. So anyways, I told you that was a big topic around binders and chelators. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
These things are misused. They're misunderstood. People think that they can just use them, right? Not the case.
That's kind of me. One of the things that I do, actually, I've been using the Bind product lately in lieu of activated charcoal, but oftentimes...
That's a better product though, because it's way more and it's clean.
I'm not even trying to do like a detox protocol, but I know if I eat something really shitty that has, you know, whatever, pesticides, artificial colors, etc. And this is a little bit borderline eating disorder, I think, but I'll eat something I know tastes really good that's kind of shitty, and then I'll take charcoal afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad strategy, though. I mean, you know, if you eat something, see, remember, it's a gut binder. So you can mitigate a lot of bad oils. You can mitigate some toxins, some glyphosate by taking Bind.
Okay.
Bind has carbon. It has humics, fulvates. It has a product when I was in Africa. It comes from this baobab tree. And it's an incredible tree. These trees live like thousands of years. They're fascinating trees. And this fruit comes off a tree. It's about this big. And then you crack it open. And the Africans, they like use this stuff for everything. But we found this stuff to be an incredible binder.
What's it called?
Yeah. Well, they call it baobab.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, so.
Because the guy I just interviewed a couple hours ago before you was talking about the baobab tree and something that comes out of the fruit.
Yeah.
And he named something.
Yeah,
after
that, that's it.
Talking about detox.
I was there in 2005. Else. I said, let's export this stuff. So we actually started the process of like, okay, let's get this going. Yeah, you get busy and you just drop the ball. I dropped the ball on that. I don't remember how many years later, somebody did it. And all of a sudden, they have their trademark name on the product that I now buy, right? You know, or the company that makes Bind buys to put in the product for me. It's like, you know, there it is. It's like, oh my gosh, it's because it is an incredible binder. And, you know, there's some nutrient value too. But anyway, so Bind has four different binders. I'm developing another one right now with seven new technology. So cool. I'll let you know.
Cool. Awesome. Because as you're speaking, it's funny you mentioned everyone just wants the box, you know, and as you were speaking a few moments ago, I was like, I want to text them after this and be like, all right, what's the deal? You know, what's the box? I just want to buy 10 things, take it for a month, and I'm good.
Yeah, you know? See, I mean, that's the thing, right? You're my worst nightmare, but I love you to death. You know, meaning that when you deal with someone who is like sick and challenged, they're going to listen to what you say to get their life back, right? You're just biohacking around. You want to be healthy. And that's cool. I mean, the way you use things is cool. No problem, right? No criticism here. But the point is though, if you're really trying to get heavy metals out of deep tissue, you know, there has to be a consistent following of a program.
I've always been a fan of pomegranate, but I had no idea it contained one of the most powerful compounds in the world for mitochondria. It's called urolithin A, and it's incredible for mitophagy. Or put more simply, the way your body discards old dysfunctional mitochondria. The thing is that you'd have to eat ridiculous amounts of pomegranate to get a clinically effective dose of this urolithin A. That's why I get mine in a product called MitoPure, available in a berry powder, protein powder, and soft gels. Super easy to take and adopt into your daily routine. MitoPure is a breakthrough postbiotic that activates your body's natural defense against aging. It's also the first product on the market to offer a precise dose of urolithin A to upgrade mitochondrial function, increase cellular energy, and improve muscle strength. MitoPure is the result of 10 years of research by scientists at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology, and its clinically proven benefits are available for the first time in the U.S. through Timeline Nutrition. To learn even more about the science of MitoPure, go back and check out episode 389 with Dr. Chris Rinch. It's a mitochondria geek out of the highest order of magnitude and helps simplify this complex topic. And in the meantime, as a special offer for you listeners, you can use the promo code Luke10 to get 10% off any 2, 4, or 12-month MitoPure plan at timelinenutrition.com. And by the way, I highly suggest the starter pack, which lets you try all three forms of MitoPure. Again, that's timelinenutrition.com, and your code is Luke10. At this point, so you're working with a few select clients, and you mentioned that you're training doctors. Could someone listening find someone that's trained in the way that you've discovered?
Look,
what you're talking about?
3 years ago, with my children who are heavy metal poison, I kind of started that story a little bit, but passionate about everything that we do, they started Pump a Program, which now has scaled everything that I do teaching doctors, and they're taking what I've been teaching directly to the public, people looking for answers. And they have a coach and a whole university that I built out.
Oh, cool.
And it's basically, if I would work with someone for a year, you're working with someone who I've trained intensely, and they're taking you through the process. And my kids passionately brought that to the world. I mean,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's, you wouldn't believe, because the need is so high that they have just exploded this scaled program of what I've been teaching for 20 years.
Rad. Yeah. That's cool.
And then for the first time, I'm also certifying coaches at my seminar. We'll talk about that.
Great. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cause sometimes I get great people like you on, and you have answers, you know, and you're like, oh, I'm busy. I'm doing other things. I can't help you. And I always want to make sure that I leave the audience with,
well,
actionable step if this resonates with them.
You know? I can give them, I just did a live training. And I can give them the thing. If you go to cellulartraining.net, it's a live training webinar, and then that will lead you to the program. The webinar is spectacular. You'll hear really in-depthly what I do, and you'll see me draw it out. But it will lead you to that program.
Okay.
And the program's amazing. And last time I did the show, I didn't have that. to your point.
Yeah.
We talk about all these things, and then you kind of leave people going like, okay, I got to come to the guy's seminar, right?
Right.
You know, it's like, yeah, but no, there's a program
okay,
for
cool.
that reason.
Yeah. And we'll put all of that, you guys, in the show notes at lukestory.com/pompa, P-O-M-P-A. So anything we discussed here, you know, we'll link out in there, including that program. I got a selfish question here. So, and I don't know if this is valid based on, as you said, with the hair mineral analysis test, it shows what your body's excreting. I got mine and there were no heavy metals, except there was really high aluminum. And so, you know, I'm like, I don't know if that means that it's great because my body's getting rid of it through my hair in that 3 month period that we're looking at. But after doing some research, I found that silica is supposedly useful in getting aluminum out. Mm-hmm. So I got this brand called Organo Living Silica, and it's like a really concentrated, very bioavailable silica. So I've been doing probably 4 times the recommended dose of that, just drinking it every day. Do you think that that is viable, or is that again just a downstream kind of fix?
Well, I would say this: if it was in your hair, you probably were getting it somewhere, like a dietary source. I don't know how much you drink out of aluminum cans and those things, but yeah. You know, you could have gotten it that way, and that would be helpful. If it's, and again, I don't think in the hair test it was reflecting what was in your brain. It doesn't work that way. But let's hypothetically just say if you had aluminum in the brain, that would not help.
Okay.
It's not that easy.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Good to know. Wah, wah, wah. What about things like ozone and ozone dialysis? I just did a treatment back in Austin at a place called Alive and Well, and it's called EBO2.
Yeah, I love that EBO2.
You like that?
I've done it myself.
I mean,
yeah.
I felt freaking amazing.
Yeah. My wife, who just left, would say that we do a lot like you, a lot of biohacks, this and that. She said that made her feel amazing for days.
Yeah. That was my experience
that
too.
Was hers.
But the practitioner who administered that treatment, and for those listening, essentially you're taking blood out of one arm, running it through a dialysis membrane that's infused with ozone. So you're increasing the capacity for oxygen. Then that's running through this thing called the hemolumen, which is different frequencies of light, which is kind of sterilizing your blood. It goes back in. You do that 4 or 5 times. One of the things that they mentioned as a benefit, there's a lot of benefits, but they indicated that that would be drawing some heavy metals out of the blood. Do you think that that's a valid assertion, or are there just other systemic benefits?
Yeah, I would think not. But even if it was in your blood, you're, you know, very transient. Your body was excreting it most likely anyway. But I mean, I guess it potentially could get some, but I would not do it for that reason.
Okay. You wouldn't be.
I think there's other benefits.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not that simple. That's what I.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wish. Because, you know, you're seeing your blood go up in the membrane. And I'm like, ooh, all those heavy metals are in there now.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
45
yeah.
minutes later, I'm like, I'm clean. Okay. But, you know, it is a really cool treatment. I mean, like
it
you
is.
Said.
Yeah. Great treatment.
Both myself and my wife walked out. They're just going, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, just mental clarity, energy, feeling really good. And it's apparently one thing that it's widely known for more so than the metals is helping people with Lyme and Epstein-Barr and things like that. You know, if they do consecutive treatments.
Yeah, I think Dr. Yoshi, is that where you got it done?
No, huh?
Oh, I thought that someone told me that you got it. I think it was John. But yeah, so that's who did it on us. Man, is that incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, cool stuff. I mean, I love sharing things like that are kind of fringe, but still validated
safe. I share anything that's helped me and I feel is helpful, right?
And it's a couple grand to do it, which is not accessible for many people, especially people with chronic illness that have lost their ability to earn a living. But my thought is always, well, the more people know about this, you're going to bring the price down. I mean, the Viome testing, for example,
absolutely.
You know, was $300 3 years ago. Now it's $97, right?
Yeah.
So it's like you scale modalities like that in their popularity.
Absolutely.
You have more practitioners, more people are trained, it's more widely available, and thus becomes more relevant and also affordable for a wider group of people. All right. So I was going to ask you about Viome. I saw something that you'd mentioned on your site, and I just interviewed Naveen Jain because it's been a couple years since we did a podcast, and he has a really broad spectrum of tests now available with his RNA testing. Do you have any experience with that? And is there anything in that that pertains to your method of detox?
Yeah. No, look, I mean, I think that microbiome testing is, all my doctors I train do it. I think it really is good to look at, especially diversity or non-diversity, because that's which, if you have a diverse microbiome, that's health, immune health, mental health. If you have a non-diverse microbiome, that's lack of health. And same thing applies. So I think it's fantastic for that. I think it's still a little early. This is me. I love him. I, you know, love his testing. But I to say, oh, you should eat this diet based on your microbiome test. The reason why is I challenge anyone to this. Do a test a month later, even a couple of weeks later. It's very different oftentimes, right? And, you know, so one of my principles that I teach is diet variation is the way you gain diversity of your microbiome is change your diet. Every culture, ancient culture on the planet, changed their diet because they had to. Today, because we can eat the same eight foods, we eat the same eight foods because we like it, and it probably was what we thought helped us, right? But the fact is forced diet change creates diversity. So I'm not a fan of saying, oh, here's your microbiome, eat this diet. I think that, I don't know. It's just not that simple to me. But I think there's other benefits for sure.
Okay, cool. And then what about parasites and their relationship to heavy metals? You know, I hear a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is valid, but for example, if somebody has insomnia, particularly during a full moon period, right, then you'll hear someone say, oh, you know, it's the heavy metals and your parasites are gobbling up the metals or they're excreting toxins or whatever it is. Do parasites have a relationship to your methodology in terms of detox? Is that addressed? And
in my program, the doctors and the coaches are always trained by me to say, listen, when you start pulling metals out, you'll start finding parasites and pathogens come out because they hide in and around the heavy metals to hide from the immune system. So you will deal with parasites. You will deal with different pathogens, whether it be bacteria, viruses, oftentimes candida. Look, I could never lower my candida and I kept getting parasites until I got my heavy metal down to a certain point.
Okay.
Right. It's the terrain.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we know the battle, right? The terrain is everything. So it's, you know, what's polluting the terrain, meaning that heavy metals and other toxins we've been talking about really violate the terrain and thereby allowing the parasites and the pathogens to exist, right? It's like you look at these people on farms that are exposed all the time, right? Or these countries, they don't have it because their microbiome is so strong because it battles these things off every day, right? So our bodies are meant to do that. However, take those people and give them heavy metals and now they're going to get parasites.
Right, right.
That's the way it is.
Okay, that makes sense. I'm glad we're able to tie that in here. Man, well, I think we pretty much covered everything that I want to cover. Is there anything that we missed that you think is pertinent to the conversation?
I just want to give your viewers and listeners some tips on, because I mentioned infections and this was in my head. Again, I hate mentioning things and then someone's out there with that problem and I didn't give them where they should start. You need a cone beam. If you think you might have a cavitation, mm-hmm. cone beam. Now, here's a few cautions about a cone beam.
A dental analysis.
Any dentist can recommend to give you a script to go get one. Most dentists do not have cone beam. And it's a 3D scan. It's a 3D
X-ray.
Yeah.
We just did a show with him, which we'll have published before this, Dr. Nunnally, where he described
it. Dr. Nunnally does it great. Yeah. And he's a great, great guy. Not all biological dentists do cavitation work. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the cautions. He does. Okay. Now, not all biological dentists read cone beam correctly. They don't even have the right software. So if you get a cone beam, don't run to your dentist, your average dentist in particular, and say, he'll look at it like a plain film and he'll go, you look fine to me. But you have to have special software and you have to have training on reading it.
Okay.
So it's a very important. When I'm dealing with very challenged cases, we want to look at this. We need to look at the mouth and potential hidden infections there. So, you know, very important. So we kind of finished out then the testing for the three things that we said, hey, look, these three things are very important to really detox correct and test correct, right?
Okay.
We talked about mold, testing homes. We talked about in the body. And, oh, we didn't talk about the visual contrast test. One more thing. And then hidden infections, the cone beam, very, very important. So mold, good place to start is a visual contrast sensitivity test. So it's what we're doing downstairs, part of one of the tests we're doing downstairs. When you get a biotoxic exposure in particularly from mold, and oftentimes even from these infections, you lose the ability to see contrast, these little gray lines. So we rule out eyesight. We want to make sure your sight is good to see them, but contrast is very different. And when you lose contrast, you'll go, are there even lines there? Well, there are. So from the test, we're able to see if you're in a mold exposure, past mold exposure, or maybe an infection. So it's a very good test. Visual contrast. You could start by going to vcstest.com, and now they now do it online.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. You can do it on your computer?
Yeah, they can do it on the computer. Now, it's not as accurate as the one we have in our offices,
sure,
but it's a really good place to start.
Okay, cool. All right, man. Well, I got one more question for
you. All right.
Who are three teachers or teachings that have influenced your life or your work that you'd like to share with us?
Oh, boy. I can tell you, I gave credit to Richie Shoemaker earlier, right? Just because I learned a lot about mold from him.
Mm-hmm.
He really deserves that. A guy who passed away, Andy Cutler. Andy Cutler, I always give credit for understanding half-life chelators and the ability of ALA, alpha lipoic acid, to move inorganic mercury out of the brain. The thing with Andy was is that everyone from his work thought you could just take chelators correctly and get well, you know. And later in Andy's life, I was saying, look, you know, Andy, the key's the cell with dues and chelators correctly with. And you know, he agreed with me there, I believe. But anyways, he ended up passing away. But I give him credit because he did such great work that most people today cite his work, but they never, you know, give his name. And I always like to say, oh, that's Andy Cutler's work, right, you know, on. Because it's a piece of what I utilize in knowledge that is very, very important. I did thank Joe Mercola and Dave Asprey this weekend for what they do. I said to them both, I appreciated Joe Mercola for standing up against what most people were afraid to stand up against. And I thanked him for that this weekend. I thank Dave, the seminar, what he's done, biohacking, putting it on the map. I love giving credit to people who do extraordinary things. And a lot of people steal their information. A lot of people don't give them credit and piggyback on them. And I want to give them credit.
So awesome.
On your show, I'm giving them credit.
Awesome. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. We got a couple bonuses in there too. So we're going to put the show notes at lukestory.com/pompa. And so anything that you mentioned here, any website or anything, I think we're pretty clear on how people can kind of learn more about your work, and we'll put it in there. And man, it's great to see you.
Great to see
you. I love
you
and your wife. And, you know, we've run into each other over the years, and it's great to get to hang and get kind of an update on where you are with your work. So thank you for sharing a lot of valuable information. I appreciate it.
Love it.
All right, my friends, Dr. Dan Pompa has left the building. And I want to thank you so much for spending your valuable time listening to the Lifestylist podcast. And I'm pretty confident that friend Dan was able to boil down the fundamentals of detox in an actionable manner, and that you're ready to put in some work to start this year off right. Next week's episode is going to be epic. We're hitting you with number 454. It's called Saturate Your Soul, Float Therapy and Magnesium Bathing to Melt Stress and Meet Yourself with Max Casa. But check this out before we dip out of here. If you want the audio, video, written transcripts, and clickable links from every episode delivered directly to you the moment they're published, here's what I want you to do. Go to lukestory.com/newsletter and enter your name and email. This takes about 10 seconds. And once you do it, you're good for life, or until you don't want to hear from me anymore, which hopefully doesn't happen. Again, go to lukestory.com/newsletter and I'll send you all the goods every single Tuesday morning and even bonus shows on Fridays. And if you want to explore some more of Dr. Dan Pompa's stuff, you'll find that at lukestory.com/revelationhealth. All right, I'll be back next week talking about float therapy.